I think we have everybody back. So our callers could hit *6 to mute themselves or use mute on the headset. I'd like to welcome everybody to Joan Rehnquist's Animal Education Teleseminar series with for her Communication with All Life University certification program. And we're very excited to have tonight's special guest, Margaret Ann Lembo. She's the owner of Crystal Garden, which is a bookstore and gift store and spiritual center located in Boynton Beach, Florida. She's owned it for over 20 years, and she's been facilitating events and workshops there on a wide range of spiritual and metaphysical subjects. Most exciting to her right now is her new book called Chakra Awakening, and I believe she also has a deck of Oracle Angel cards, Angel Gemstone Oracle deck, coming out soon. So I will let Joan take over. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you. Did I hit mute? Okay, no. Welcome.
Thank you, Joan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I wanted everyone to know, too, it's so funny. When I lived down in Florida, her store was right around the corner from my place, literally on the corner there to get to the freeway. So anytime I ever had to go to a baby shower or a wedding shower or a birthday party or something, everybody got a crystal. Or actually, my very, 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 very favorite, it broke in the move. I had, and I would love to get one again, I bought a St. Francis thing that had like a place for holy water that I bought at your store.
Did you really? I would love to get that again.
Yeah.
Was it St. Anthony, maybe?
No, it was definitely St. Francis.
Wow.
And some little birds broke off.
Like for outside.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I would like to get those back in. Thanks for that reminder.
Yeah. Well, when you do, let me know.
Okay.
I'm first in line.
Will do.
Anyway, I have a million questions for you, and I want to talk about your book. And a lot of the people on the call are very aware of chakras, as we have a pretty big workshop that's a requirement called Animal Alchemy, where I go into the animal chakras. But what I would love to do is get a little bit of history on how you got started in the whole thing, because I think that, you know, people, you may have started on this trajectory from the beginning, but a lot of the people on this call are, you know, kind of questioning where they're going to go next in life, and generally with animals and generally with healing, that much they know, but it's still kind of an open book. So I always love to start the call with, how did you get into this?
Into the world of metaphysics and spirituality and having a store and teaching and all that jazz, yes?
Exactly. Just the little things.
Okay, sure. The short and sweet version is that in my early days of my life, I grew up with the norm was to actually use telepathy, talk to the plants, talk to the animals, listen and pay attention to ESP, we called it then, ESP, and that was like a normal part of growing up in my household. And then I was in the mortgage banking industry, so fast forward, in the mortgage banking industry, yes, still paid attention to that, still took courses, still, you know, involved in metaphysics to a certain degree, nowhere as near as much as I am now. But specifically at that time, I was a mortgage banker, very much into corporate America. And then the stock market crashed in 88, and 87 actually, and catapulted me out of mortgage banking, out of that career as a mortgage banker, which was very nice, very lucrative, and I was very happy in. And it kind of pushed me into, well, not kind of, it did push me into opening the Crystal Garden, which I didn't even know I was opening what I was doing. I had no clue that that was what was evolving. So it very quickly became evident, you know, when I say quickly, relatively speaking to 22 years, after a year or two, I realized, oh, this is a New Age metaphysical store. And then immediately classes started happening, and I started lecturing on angels back in the early 90s, like 90, 91. And then it just kept evolving and manifesting from there. So then I got trained by a lot of metaphysicians and medicine men and women and spiritual teachers from all over the planet, because they ended up coming to the Crystal Garden to teach and do workshops. And then, of course, I traveled to have different experiences, sacred sites, and all kinds of good things over the years as well. Is that a good sum up?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you say, actually it kind of cracks me up, when you say, oh, it's a metaphysical story, what did you, I mean, when you opened the Crystal Garden, what were you thinking it was going to be?
I know, what was I thinking? No, I'm kidding. I was thinking, actually, that it was just going to be some cool and funky, feel-good, pottery, crafty, smells nice when you walk in kind of a store that you'd see maybe in North Carolina, you know, with really cool pottery and this, that, and the other. And I did open the store with quite an inventory of crystals. And so that's kind of why I guess it evolved the way I intended it to evolve, or it was intended to evolve, I should say. It was sort of like I was placed there and using my business knowledge that I gained from, you know, college, I was then able to, ooh, that's flippy when that happens, I was then able to apply it to actually maintaining a business. So all of these things help maintain an actual business versus it just being a woo-woo, you know, feel-good store. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And so being a woo-woo, feel-good store by accident, you know, in the early 90s,
yeah.
How popular was that?
It was popular, but it grew slowly. You know, it wasn't that kind of, because the location, so from my perspective, from, you know, where I sat, the location wasn't in a mall or any place where people could, you know, really find us, and it isn't still today. It's totally a destination location.
Yeah.
But because of the vision I held after I realized what the vision was, and that's a lesson, I think, in itself. You know, like something like if you're just starting out and realizing that you're going to maybe be switching from going to work and pay for a job to I want to be a healer or a teacher or wherever everybody's going with this. I did have my foot in both worlds, and I still have my foot in both worlds. I still manage real estate. I still have a whole different career on top of what I do. Where was I going with that thought? Oh, but eventually the store became popular, and it just takes time and focus and dedication. In fact, I just read a book called Outliers not that long ago by Malcolm
Gladwell. Oh, yeah, I love him, Malcolm Gladwell.
Yes, and, you know, and that tells you, you know, you stay dedicated, you do the work, you do a lot of sessions, a lot of sessions, in my case, a lot of teaching, a lot of sessions, and the case of whatever everybody else is doing, I would think it's called practice, 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 and after 10,000 hours of 10 years, you become an overnight success.
Exactly. We've actually talked about that with this group.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's, I know, because it's, in Hollywood, people are always an overnight success. It's like, oh my God, please, they went to Yale School of Drama, they did this, that, and the other thing, but yeah. But it is, it's funny, the expert, it's just putting your nose to the grindstone and saying, okay, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
So,
being dedicated.
Yeah. But I want to go back to something you said, though, too, is that you also held a vision. What was the vision?
After I realized a lot of my purpose, one of my bigger purposes was to bring more love to the planet and help people to find that love. And, you know, now that sounds woo-woo, but it's not. It's very grounded. I realize that my vision is totally about remembering that we are love and that everyone else really is love. And the more that we manifest love in the way we interact with others, in the case of what I'm assuming this university is focused on, with the animals, but also plants, with, you know, fellow beings on the planet, the more that we can manifest peace on Earth, and that it's just going to take, you know, sort of like one drop of water at a time, whatever it takes, is just stay focused on the vision of creating more love. So I really, it was very strongly my intention that when people walk in the door of the shop, and now anytime they interact with me, that they immediately feel better, they immediately relax, that they feel loved, and that somehow, some way, they can almost have a sigh of relief, even if it's 4 or 5 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, whether it's in interacting in a class setting, hopefully even over the phone in a situation like this, but also walking in the front doors of the Crystal Garden, too.
And so then you started focusing on healing itself rather than readings yourself?
Yeah, I'm not really big on the readings thing. You know, what was interesting, there was a point in the evolution of the Crystal Garden early on that the city that I'm in, which is, happens to be Boynton Beach, doesn't allow for, you know, quote-unquote psychic readings. So we had to discontinue doing that, and at first it was very disturbing to me. It was like, you know, you're taking away some of my livelihood and blah, blah, blah. But then, once I settled in and realized everything's for a divine purpose, I realized it was time to focus more on empowering people to find the answers from within, and so I started offering more and more classes. So now, not just me personally, but my whole, venue, the store. So we offer over 60 events a month at the shop, which is a lot of classes.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah. And well, can you get away with intuitive readings?
Yeah, well, what I do is, when you come into town, when I'm there, I'm doing mine as, you know, Reverend Margaret Ann Lemble Chapel 332, and I'm not really doing psychic readings. I make it really clear to people that they're intuitively based, and I'm helping them figure things out, with the angels, with guidance, with information, but also even just oftentimes confirming what they already feel and know within themselves. And sometimes, you know, they'll tell me all this stuff and explain what's going on in their life, and then I'll say something that's, you know, not even that highly intuitive, and they'll say, oh, how'd you know that? It's like, well, you told me.
Right.
It's very obvious. And so it's just a place for a communion with another person to confirm a lot of what people already know. And I would think that in the world of animal communication, isn't a lot of that having to do with also the person who is the so-called, quote-unquote, owner of the animal?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah. It has everything to do with that because, I mean, it can be a mirror or a new lesson, but it also, you know, I agree with you. I'm about empowering people to connect up with all life. So it's, as much as I like going and doing readings, the whole purpose of this university and the books and what have you is empowering others to see how much is already available to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of people say the same sort of thing, like, a reading can just confirm for them the direction they can go in that they were thinking anyway. And they just kind of needed to know, you know?
Or like permission or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Have
permission.
You ever noticed that it feels like they almost feel like, is it okay if I do this? Like,
yeah.
What would happen? And, you know, I'm grateful. My dad had a very strong influence, as I know yours did in your life. But he used to always say, Margaret, you don't know until you try. So just try.
Yeah, that's pretty much what my dad would say, too.
You know, it's just do it, you know? It's like the original Nike. Just do it.
Yeah. So when you started focusing on, tell everybody the name of your book again.
Oh, my book is called Chakra Awakening, Transform Your Reality Using Crystals, Color, Aromatherapy, and the Power of Positive Thought.
Well, that sounds very awesome, and we certainly love that in this gang. So let's just start with what's the short version of what you say about chakras?
The short version is that chakras are energy centers that are part of our physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional beingness, and contained within each one of those chakras, those energy centers, are thought forms and belief systems that we have based on past lives, growing up in socialization, and experiences that we've had throughout our whole lives. So we hold certain core beliefs, and each one of them is stored within each of the chakras based on the different areas of life that the chakras relate to. So as we become more conscious and cognitive of what thought forms we actually have rolling around or programmed, what programs are running underneath, so to speak, then we can become more clear, become more conscious, awaken our consciousness. I feel like I'm repeating the same words there, but I guess you know what I mean by that, to improve our lives, to evolve our spirit, our soul, to become better people, to heal situations that, you know, maybe when we put it into perspective, it's like that was then, this is now, and it really doesn't apply anymore, and we hold on to these limiting beliefs or socialized thinking that keeps us on a hamster wheel, the hamster wheel effect, which is sort of like if you put your hand next to your head and make a circle, like that crazy thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And once you realize, oh, I can stop this hamster wheel, I just have to realize why I'm on it, you know? Did that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And how do you use color in healing?
Color specifically, I use it a number of ways. One of the easiest ways for people who may not have crystals, which is one of the ways, is just what clothes you wear. I mean, as simple as that, from your underwear to your shirts to your, you know, purse or pocketbook or, you know, jewelry, which gets into the gemstones you put on for the day, even if they're not gemstone jewelry. And then wearing things with intention. So if it's a day that you need to feel more empowered or more energized, more dynamic, a red vibration is, you know, red clothing, red underwear, red is good. You know, if it's a day that you want to feel nurtured or you want to be more nurturing, maybe a pink shirt that day would be good. And so on. You know, I could go through each of the chakras. And then you can also relate it and move it towards working with gemstones, whether it's carrying them, wearing them, putting them in your pillowcase at night, or going even further and creating crystal grids and crystal alignments, but always using positive intention, making a thought that goes with it. What's the thought that matches that gemstone or color? Not just willy-nilly wearing them or using them. It's actually having an intention. An intention is the key, and using the imagination and allowing your imagination to create reality, and the tool is the color or the crystal. Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. How about, how would a crystal grid help an animal?
Well, depending on the animal, I think, of course, I know dogs, I've heard reports of, I don't have any dogs, but I've heard reports that dogs relate well to this, and I bet you anything horses would, is to actually establish in their space with the intention to rebalance or realign them, like actually creating a grid by placing gemstones around their space. So let me think of an example for you. Let's say there's a dog that's very, very hyper and maybe feeling a little scared, you know, if they have this tendency to be afraid or skittish. So I could say with any animal, I guess, and now that I think about it, is a nice grid of rose quartz and hematite. So you could place strategically around their space, either literally around them, depending on how settled down you can get them, or in their, like near their bed or where they sleep, in the case of a horse in the barn, and place the gemstones in the four corners, and then imagine that the rose quartz and the hematite are creating a dome of safety and love and well-being. And so often with rose quartz and hematite, I like to imagine like an M&M effect, where the inside of the core of the dome is pink rose quartz, the rose quartz, and that the shell that's outside of it is hematite. And what it does is a combination of your imagination and visualization, and then it being amplified by the gems and the colors, that it creates a sense or a feeling of well-being. It amplifies your intention. And especially if you yourself or whoever is the, what do you call it? Do you usually call the owner of the dog? What term do you like?
You know, I like to say the human companion, but
thank
I mean
you.
It's, yeah.
That's much better. The
yeah.
human companion then can also imagine and focus on it and then maybe also stop their thoughts of worry in that regard. Because they're often perpetuating, the human companions are often perpetuating what is happening because that's the reality that they're seeing exhibited instead of the reality that they want, which is a peaceful animal, an animal that's not afraid, in my example of the fearful, nervous animal. Did that make sense?
Yeah, I actually liken it also to I've had this prayer box for years, and then I have the answered prayer box. But once you put stuff in the prayer box, you don't have to worry about it. You know, it's like you take it off your mind, or when you give something to like a Ganesh or a, you know, a saint or whatever, that you're letting that go to, the intention is there, but you're letting that go to work for you.
Good. Yeah.
So what are some of the really, like if we were to say, you know, so grounding would be like hematite, and I know this could be a whole like 4-hour class on itself, but
some of the some gemstones that might match some of the situations and conditions?
Yeah.
Sure. So would you, can you, like what are some conditions that typically, if you don't mind, give me some
idea? Okay,
like
so for example, today,
yes.
I dealt with actually two dogs that have lost their, like one I would almost call it like a muscular dystrophy. She has not been rebuilding muscle, and so she's kind of withering away on the one hand, but she's full of life on the other hand. So she's carried, they're about to buy her wheels and what have you. And then by chance, another dog that I worked on today has the Bernese Mountain Dog syndrome, where he's definitely lost his hind end, and he's got the fanciest wheels in town. And it's almost like the dogs are okay with, you know, not having the full physical force. It's almost more the people kind of almost calming them down.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the things that came to mind for the dog, because that's where I thought we were going first, just so you know, is selenite. Selenite is good for muscles, bones, spinal cords, things of that nature, and just alignment, realignment. And likewise for the human companion, I like to use that for the same purposes. Again, the muscles, bones, skeletal structure, a spinal cord, but also for protection, for looking for the higher divine purpose or aligning with divine will versus thy will. You know, thy will, the higher will versus your own small will. And then acceptance, you know, like in this, with selenite, it would work with any gemstone you pick, just so you know, but using that selenite, which is a very white, kind of shimmering looking stone. It's named selenite because of the goddess Selene, which has to do with the moon. And so you think of the shimmering moon vibration. So being receptive to receiving the alignment with the higher will, and maybe the purpose that they had a dog even have this end up happening. Why did they end up having a dog that did this? So does it bring them to search deeper? If they didn't have a dog like that, they never would have gone to someone like you.
Well, the irony of the one dog, this is just, it is, just is what it is. The one is a 12-year-old Bernese Mountain Dog, and 12 is pretty, you know, unfortunately, dogs don't live that long in, you know, bigger breeds. So, yeah, 12 is older. And the woman that owns him, or the human companion, she is like a type A trial lawyer, and the reason I met her 11 years ago was she's got all these champion Bernese Mountain Dogs. I mean, champion. And the one, Winter, the one that I've been seeing a lot lately, he was when he was 1 year old, she called me because the other dog had been champion of the universe in obedience, and then he went on to cart, you know, to pull a cart in working class, and oh, she was just the hit in her neighborhood because she would, you know, drive this little cart pulled by her dog down to her law office. You know, she had a pretty charmed life with the one dog. So dog number two, with the same breeding, Winter, comes along and is freaked out by the cart. Absolutely will not do it. So here's this, you know, very type A personality, you know, with a dog that's way too sensitive, way more sensitive than she. I mean, the dog's a lot more like her husband, but she's definitely, you know, a driving force in life, which is what makes her a great lawyer. Max, the first dog, eventually died, and she's got this other dog now that's winning everything also. But what happened was we worked with Winter 11 years ago, to just make him comfortable with the cart, even though he never had to compete, so that they both didn't feel like they failed at this, and he went on to win agility. Well, what's the irony that we did all that work with the cart, thank God, because now he's like, he's got his little wheels, and he, like, owns the planet now, and he's so proud and amazing. I mean, like, it's almost like he lived all this time to finally pull these wheels. It's the, like, complete opposite of what this dog, this fearful, overly sensitive guy was way back
how
in the beginning.
Ironic.
Yeah. But that's how we met, is over the wheels. The fact that the wheels did not work. And, you know, he couldn't deal with the cart. And now he's like, look at me! I've got wheels!
And yet the wheels aren't for necessarily carrying her, but more for carrying himself.
Yep.
Wow.
And he's really, literally become the poster child for this one company's set of wheels. And he's, you know, the poster child for this particular disease. She's actually, you know, she takes all the winnings that she makes off the other dog and the obedience and buys ads in all the dogs' magazines to get people to donate money for the research for this particular disease that takes away, you know, their hind end.
And there is exactly what we're talking about, so I can see how that matches up with that. So often, disease, in whether it's a human or an animal, it really has to do with having us wake up to something else. It's usually somehow, ironically, in a strange, twisted way, a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, that's been she's like, she just showed, you know, she's always sending me, here's the latest ad that Winter's, you know, so this dog becomes the star of this other thing, where she's always had these dogs that win, you know, every national title. So he still gets his star also in her little...
And it's a happy ending.
It's amazing, because she's, you know, she's gets to be, well, she was proud of him in the agility, but she gets to be super proud of how much he's carrying out this role. The other dog that might really help, because there doesn't seem to be as much purpose behind, and yet, you know, everybody is in love. I mean, not that there has to be that kind of a higher purpose to raise money for a certain disease, but you know what I mean. I think they're still searching.
And what about, like, for the perspective of the owner or a human companion? Is this making that human companion of that other dog to make them search more into their own spirituality or dig deeper in themselves, or they were already connected pretty much with?
I would say that she's unconsciously connected. You know, she's young. You know, those questions on one hand are always there, and on the other hand, you know, she's a driving force toward, she wants to go to vet school. You know, she may pick some Western medicine version to fix it, but she's of that age group where the questions are always there.
Okay.
You know, does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah, and it will, like, catapult her into something. There's
yes.
always a reason, like, if, you know, it always leads to something, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, she's what I would say, one one of those indigo kids, and she's 28. So those questions have always been part of her consciousness.
Well, that's good. That's very good. I like the way you said that. Unconsciously conscious.
I don't know how else to explain that. You know, it's not like she's going to go out and make a living this minute doing that. But I have a feeling at some point she'll, you know, she's going to do something with it all. So another situation here is a good one that's just, you know, an everyday email.
Yeah.
Separation anxiety. So a lot of times, let's say the dog is maybe had been, you know, this is a second home situation, and, you know, tears the crate apart if you crate it, tears the door down, you know, freaks out at thunder.
I wonder if hematite is really good for dogs, because now I'm more intuiting than anything, but... You know, like, because the first thing that jumped in my head again was hematite.
I know, me too. I always think of hematite.
For animals?
What's that?
Have you done much work with gemstones for animals?
Just the basics, like the hematite and things like that. And I worked a little bit with Judith Lekomsky on some stuff. And,
yeah. Hematite and rose quartz comes to mind immediately, but also amethyst, which helps to transform and transmute challenging situations. It's like a very Merlin-esque in a way, because that swirling energy could help to shift the consciousness of the dog somehow. But it would still be more importantly that the human companion is the one that's imagining that shift in consciousness.
I know, believe me. That's where we always go.
I know, right? It always goes back to that. So that would be one of them. So, for example, with the hematite would be the grounding stone, but also black tourmaline is very grounding and also deflects negativity. So if there's any negative thought form that would be attached to the behavior itself, you know, that's sort of sad. Well, another thing that comes to mind is an Apache tear, which has to do with grieving. And grieving sometimes is what the animal might be going through because of the separation. Like, they're sad, they're very upset, they don't know how to deal with it, so they act out to handle their frustration. So Apache tears are good for grief, and so is rhodonite. Rhodonite is very helpful for that, and both of them are very grounding and very focusing, and but I don't know that any one given stone is ever going to do it. It's going to have to be a combination of modalities and, you know, adjusting of situations, as I know that you already know that. But
you know, I'll tell you where there's $1 billion to be made in gemstones. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Horses that are herd bound.
And well, I don't know what that means.
It's a separation anxiety, but between horses. So, like, if I take my one horse away, my other horse has a meltdown.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God, we could just do a... We could solve that with gemstones. Give them a little blanket.
Well, you know, I've always had a vision that I've never taken any further, which is to take a good old-fashioned, like what I call Indian blanket or Native American blanket, you know, those nice woven ones, and then make pockets somehow and sew gemstones into them.
Yeah, I've got something kind of similar to that. I've got a couple things like that because people are always trying products with me. The other thing would be attaching it to halters, and the other thing would be attaching it to saddle pads. Saddle pads would be...
And is there a place to, like, attach it in their stable?
Well, that's what I was thinking, is lining a stall.
Yeah.
I've done that before with amethyst and rose quartz.
How does that work?
Really well. In my last barn, I did a lot more. Actually, I don't have any gemstones down in this barn, and I was doing a lot more rehabbing. I was supposed to have my first rehab horse come in. I was going to rehab a horse, and today at 10 this morning, she changed her mind, and she's having me come out to her barn next week. So
maybe she needs to get them for in her barn.
Yeah. She was going to bring the horse here this morning at 10, so I rearranged my entire day, and now... It's okay. You know, it would have been a lot of work for me to have another horse here, but, you know, I wouldn't mind rehabbing, I could do one horse at a time. But, yeah, in the last barn, I rehabbed a lot of horses, and, I had amethyst and rose quartz in the barn itself. In little bags above each stall.
That would be cool. That's another way, yes, to hang them and around off of, I guess, you would have some rafters, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that just jumped in my head was I wasn't going to say celestite, but I guess that's what's coming out of my mouth. I meant to say angelite, which is a pastel blue, which is in energetically it brings in the calming vibration of the angelic forces, and it enhances communication, like interdimensional communication, which would include, you know, interspecies communication. So, you know, it would be also, I don't know if you've done any work with, I've never asked you this before, with bringing in the vibration of the guardian angel of the animal.
I've done a little bit of that. I've done a lot of work with, like, coning, you know, Michelle Small Wright, she wrote So that, I mean, I always think the guardian angel comes in that situation.
I would think. So that would just be another way, you know, is to add another layer to it, depending, I guess, on the human companion's belief system.
Right.
Because I could, like, for me, if you said to me, with my animal, you know, you need to speak to the guardian angel of your animal, which I'm thinking, maybe that's what I'm going to do with Shanae's feather picking thing. I brought Shanae in for her to a different vet regarding the feather picking. And do you have a lot of people that bring birds to you?
Yes.
Well,
I now have a dog running off to go. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
I had to yell for a minute because my dog wanted to go bark at the neighbors in their own yard, but I got her in time.
Very important for her to talk to those neighbors.
Exactly, to tell them not to be in their own yard.
And she was talking about, and I'm thinking of applying what I'm talking to you about to my own human companion, me, regarding Shanae. Because Shanae's a blue and gold macaw, and she just started about a year ago feather picking right before Marguerite died, which was a someone who's been at the store for over 15 years as part and was very much a part of her life. And I was stressed because my dad was dying. And so I think it was a combination of stress and separation anxiety, as we were just talking about. But after visiting the vet, it comes to my awareness that there's a hormonal thing going on with birds, at least in South Florida. And she herself has a hyacinth macaw that has picked her whole belly bare. So I guess there's a lot of birds that are doing a lot of feather picking, and now I'm wondering I should do a crystal grid around my own bird.
Well, and the thing is if you think about the hormone shooting off, you know, that's what, I mean, with stress, the hormones go wacky.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that. Thank you.
Yeah,
I know. I think of it for me, and because I even joked around. I said, "Oh, can I get some bioidentical hormone cream for my bird too?"
Exactly.
I like when I laugh at my own jokes, don't you?
Yeah, I like laughing at your jokes too, but I also like mine.
I like yours too, Joan. So, in relation to that, you might say, "Well, Margaret, how would you use it?" So then I would apply that to myself. I can hang crystals near, I mean, she's in a room filled with gemstones, but maybe I need to put some with intention specifically that's her grid, and call
right.
it her guardian angel, and maybe and I keep saying celestite, so I guess I better pay attention to what's coming out of my mouth. I meant angelite, which they're both a pastel blue stone. One is translucent and one is dense in color, you know, when you look at it.
I can feel that I have a feeling,
mm-hmm.
just a guess, I'm just a pet psychic here, but I would guess that there would be some interest from the gang if there was a way to put together an elective, a teleseminar of your gem class. Just thinking out loud here, because I know that Claudia down in at New Age Books and Things,
yeah.
You know, they loved your class, so.
I love her, too.
Yeah, I love Claudia. So, that would be, anyway, something to think about, because, of course, there's a million things to play with, but what, you know, if someone does have a sense of some of the gemstones, and I mean, my knowledge is so basic, but it is, I mean, I've used a lot of rhodonite, I've used a lot of, I love tourmaline, I love all those things. I, in particular, have had periods where I've turned myself around just wearing watermelon tourmaline earrings, and that can change my mood in 2 seconds.
I can believe that, because that really gets to the core of the issue.
Yeah.
Watermelon tourmaline. And you know what's coming to mind is selenite and kyanite together with animals would probably be very effective, regardless of the animal type, you know, like which species. Kyanite automatically aligns the chakras with or without conscious direction.
So then my gal that I was with today.
Yes. That's
she's consciously.
Where I was going with that, yes.
Unconsciously conscious.
Unconsciously
yeah.
conscious. And then so, you know, you add the flavor of this automatically aligns the chakras to the unconsciously conscious person, and then add the selenite, which aligns with the higher will, and getting clear, like clear communication, clear information, clear guidance, paying attention to the subtle signs, or the not-so-subtle signs that we're just oblivious to.
Now, I have a couple people on the phone, I think, that are dealing with, potential blood sugar challenges with their horses.
Hmm.
Would there be something that would calm down that sort of,
Again, with conscious intention, yes. Both peridot and malachite, and even the very, yellowy green version of jade or serpentine, literally serpentine is the name of it, but it's in the jade family. Those three would be beneficial for that because where I'm going with this to relate to the chakras, typically the chakras I like to work with the color and the complementary color, but also there are some chakras that relate to different areas of our intention or life, I should say. So, for example, specifically with the solar plexus, which is the ability to digest life as well as digest foods and integrate and absorb foods, the green shades that are more pea green or what I like to call peridot green, which unless you know what peridot looks like, you don't know what that means. But
that's my birthstone.
Is it? I love peridot. Oh, that's right. You commented on that on my gem spot when I did peridot, didn't you?
Yes.
It was so sweet. And so that vibration of green, when you think of the area of the solar plexus, you've got, and I would hope and or assume that that's true with most animals, so you'd have to answer this because I don't know the physiology of the animals. And our human beings, we have the gallbladder and liver on one side and the spleen and the pancreas on the other.
On the other side. No, yeah, absolutely.
And is that
it's
still
all
true
third
with
chakra
most
for animals, too.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So then that I would think those green shades...
That's all about the chapter I just wrote and submitted to us. Sounds true, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to hear how that goes.
Yeah. You know, I'm just having a crazy thought.
What?
What if somebody didn't have a way to put, say, this... I just had the craziest thought. What if you knew you had an insulin-resistant animal, whether it's a dog or a cat or a horse with some sort of, like, diabetes or Cushing's or some of these things... What if you lined the feed tub or the animal bowl?
Very good, very good. You know, that is in alignment with the teachings of Marcel Vogel, who was a senior research scientist forever with
And
IBM.
I have a couple of Vogel crystals.
Do you? Me too.
Yes.
I actually got to train with him for one weekend. And he used crystals where he actually was sort of the other way around, where the crystal was in the middle, and then the tube was going around the crystal,
mm-hmm.
and then the crystal held the intention. Normally, it would be clear quartz So you could do this with clear quartz or a colored stone, but in the case of like having it be with the feed tube, you could program the clear quartz with the intention, and then it would restructure the water as it went around the crystal, or you could just, even if it doesn't swirl around the crystal, like, you know, if you couldn't make the feed tube go, you know, in a, I'm using my hands, can you see me?
Yes.
How would you describe it? I guess spiraling around, that's a good way of putting it. But even attaching it and forming the intention that the it would help rebalance the sugar in the water specifically, and have the water be restructured as it goes into the whatever animal is enjoying the slurpiness.
All righty. Well, I think that this is, as I said, I think we're going to have to talk amongst ourselves here because I've got some ideas. So I would love to open the phone lines because I can feel that there are some burning questions.
Okay. Margaret?
Yes?
This is Kate, and I have a dog who just recently had TPLO surgery.
And what
where
is
they
that?
It's a surgery where they remodel the hind knee joint for the dog. And she's doing well in her healing, but I wondered if there's a specific crystal that I could maybe attach to her collar.
Yes, orange calcite.
To help her.
Orange calcite is very, very good with different muscular, as well as selenite, which I mentioned already. But what jumped in my head when you just said that was orange calcite. And you can get that either in its natural form or tumbled, and it would work just as effectively either way.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Margaret, it's Shannon.
Ann?
Shannon.
Shannon, hi.
Yes, hi. Hey, you were talking about that. Is it kyanite?
Yes.
Is that K-Y?
K-Y-A-N-I-T-E.
A-N-I-T-E. Now, would that be good, do you think, just to put on a dog's collar just to help balance their chakras? Because sometimes, you know, you're not here when anxiety pops up like a thunderstorm or...
Yeah.
You know, things like that. I didn't know if that would work to just sort of balance them. Does it need to be cleansed, or how does that work?
It probably, you know, I mean, it's always good to cleanse anything and everything. But, you know, with kyanite, and it does come more often than it used to. I mean, I used to only be able to get it in these blade-type things. But now they're, you know, in more tumbles or a higher quality, and you can put it inside of a tube of some kind or something. Anyway, the kyanite is blue, so that... deep blue in itself energetically always, regardless of what stone it is, whether it's sodalite, lapis lazuli, or the kyanite, it will is a calming effect.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, very nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My pleasure.
Margaret, this is Pam. I'm wondering about cats who have problems urinating. They're fed a lot of dry food and they get the crystals. What's that called, Joan? I always forget what that's when they get that.
That's, I don't know what it's called, but let's see, Pam, let's see. Okay, first, the combination of yellow and green came to me, so that's making me think citrine, and the color was peridot green, but it could also, you could use that olive-colored serpentine as well. And that's the kidneys. You know, I and it really takes a lot of imagination and visualization as well. Now, I don't know what if you guys use standard process products. Do you, Joan, do you have any?
I have. I don't know that a lot of us use dynamite, but standard process is something that a lot of acupuncturists and chiropractors use, and they have an animal line.
Yeah, because this, I know we're talking about crystals, but Pam, I wanted to just mention that, you know, I have my cat of 20 years on the renal formula with standard process that I got because my, you know, holistic vet recommended it. And I've noticed between that and the renal and cardiac formula together I use, I crush it up and I add it to her food in the morning, and she just seems to eat it up just fine. And I know that we're not talking that kind of stuff, but I had to mention it.
Who's your vet?
Nancy Keller.
Yeah, that used to be my vet.
Huh?
That was, she was my vet, too,
yeah,
when I lived down there.
Yeah, she's great, isn't she?
Yeah.
In fact, I have to go over there and pick more up because I finished the renal formula the other day. So that's what comes to mind. But the yellow and green vibration would be beneficial if you wanted to use, you know, citrine and peridot or citrine and even malachite or something like that.
Okay, thanks. I use the standard process feline body support.
Yeah, yeah, it's good, the standard process.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody has, if you don't have a vet, a lot of times my friend Dr. Debbie O'Reilly, who's a chiropractor out of Denver, carries standard processing if that's something that you want to, if people want to find.
What about setting up a grid for long-distance healing, you know, so that we could even focus the group, like when we all get together? Someone sets up the grid with a picture of the horse or whatever in their home, and we could all focus in on it, you know, for 5 minutes or whatever, and we could probably do some pretty powerful group healings this way.
So you're saying, like, create a grid, everybody create their own little grid? I'm not sure.
There's a certain animal that needs help, okay, that's been really sick, you know, like in an emergency situation somewhat or a chronic situation.
Yes. And then what you could do is place the photo, if you could, of the animal within the grid.
Mm-hmm.
And then put the stones in a grid around them. So it's just like, you know, the way I look at crystals is that they're tools for amplification. So just like somebody who might light a candle when they pray, crystals, you're not praying to the crystal. You're just aligning and amplifying your intention. So that's what you're thinking? Yeah, I think that would work.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else?
I have one more. This is Shannon.
Yeah, Shannon.
Hey, what about for urinary tract infections? Would that be the yellow and green thing again also?
Yeah, that's still what comes to mind.
Okay.
I know.
Is that what comes for you too, Joan?
I love citrine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also the peridot, yeah.
Yeah.
And what about allergies?
Amethyst. For me, that's what came up is amethyst. And this is for any animal or which animal?
A dog.
And how do dogs do with aromatherapy, you guys? I'm not real versed on the animal world.
They do great.
They do?
They do great, yeah.
So, you know, eucalyptus is very beneficial. I don't know how you apply it, so don't ask me that question. But
well, you can put it on the chest. There's two acupressure points called K27s. It's the kidney 27. It's the master spot for all the organs. It's a master point. But the other thing is you can rub it on your hands and let them smell. And then I always call the poor man's aromatherapy is just to put some on the light bulb and turn the light on.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the urinary tract or if there's too much uric acid, then if I don't know which animal that was, because cats aren't supposed to do well with aromatherapy.
Yeah, it's for a cat.
Oh, it is? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? The thing is that they can do it. It's just it can't be, you can't put it on them like you do a dog or a horse.
Right. Just
because
around
if that's
in the
case, my cat would be dead because I have a huge cabinet that she sits here while we fill the aromatherapy.
Right.
Like, I'm filling the bottles of aromatherapy.
Yeah.
For the
no, they like it. They just can't have it on. They've just got a shorter passage from the nose to the brain. And so, you know, there's some short-nosed dogs that are the same thing, like
so
pugs.
So, uric acid, celery seed, which does not smell very good, but it is effective, is good for that. Because I know that because of gout, and, you know, I've used it on my dad. There's something else, the two, I'm trying to come up with. But we're not speaking of aromatherapy, but that's what comes up, so I got to say it, you know.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I had a question on a different topic. Mm-hmm. This is Jerry.
Hi,
It's about the sacred sites that you visited.
Yeah.
Was there any of the sacred sites that you visited, which one was the most woo-woo-woo, gave you the most impact?
That is so hard to answer. Let's see. Stonehenge had a big impact on me. I went there twice. Machu Picchu was pretty impressive, and I went there twice. There's a place, probably Lanzón. You know, there's a place in Peru, in Chavín, C-H-A-U-V-I-N, Chavín, that has a place where was supposedly the location where master teachers would go to train. So, like, master teachers as in the Buddha and the Christ and, you know, things of that high-level teacher. And it was like, we took a long time to get there, and it was very intense and very profound. So that one was pretty impressive. I've also had some really extraordinary experiences at Chichen Itza and Uxmal, and did crystal grid work in all these places that I'm mentioning. I did crystal grid work. And even Teotihuacan was amazing. And another little site in Mexico called Zibalchaltun that I loved immensely. And then I guess I can keep going. I mean, like, I guess I'm going to end up not answering your question. I'll just list every They all did. The answer is they all did.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you.
It is. You're welcome. Thanks for asking. I love sacred sites.
Anyone else have any questions?
This is Diane, and I was wondering... clearing the liver and down in there, what would be a good gemstone to use?
I'm going to sound like a redundant here, but again, that liver area is again that enzymes and things of that nature. So it would be not only the citrine and the peridot, but then you could get into bloodstone and hematite, things that would affect the blood and clearing of the blood, even garnet and ruby, depending on the demeanor of the animal. So if the animal is already hyper or already too assertive, then you wouldn't want to add more red vibration to their energy. You would want to stay more in the greens and yellows and maybe even a brown. So okay. Garnet probably would be okay.
What would you just say?
Garnet.
Oh, garnet, yeah.
Because I was thinking, you know, like if you do too much red,
uh-huh.
And they're already like an aggressive animal, you know, sometimes animals by nature have a little bit of a more aggressive, you know. I know more with birds and cats, but say a bird, you know, there's some macaws that are much more, they're going to like bite you right away, whereas there's others that are just mushes. Does that answer your question enough?
Yes, it does. Thank you. And I have one more question. My daughter's diabetic, and I was wondering, would a good thing for her to do would be to, like, wear earrings that are of, I can't know what it was that you
malachite.
Were talking about, diabetes, but, like, peridot or...
Malachite is really good for the diabetes. So, you know, she still has to do everything that she's supposed to be doing, but in addition to amplify it, is malachite. She could wear earrings. She could put a malachite tumbled stone in her bra. She can carry it in her pocket. She can have a malachite figurine or something on her desk if she, like, works at a, you know, like a desk job.
Right.
She could put malachite in her pillowcase at night with the intention that that would help realign her.
Okay.
And to find the sweetness in life, you know, to balance the sweetness in life.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I love that. I can come up with some answers here.
Yeah, I know. It's great. I think there's going to be more interest and more curiosity. So if people are interested in that, please email me. And, well, thank you so much. This has been really fun. And I can feel a phone copy session coming on.
I feel one, too. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for having me. I just love to talk about this, and, you know, I always learn, too, so thank you very much.
One more time, what's the name of your new book?
Chakra Awakening, Transform Your Reality Using crystals, color, aromatherapy, and the power of positive thought.
And it
there
is
you go.
Fun.
And it's coming out April 2011 with Llewellyn Worldwide, so you have to wait a little bit. But if you ever want to check out anything about me, thecrystalgarden.com, margaretannlembo.com, I'm on Facebook, however you wish.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Okay, very soon.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.